I'd like to propose a toast.
Hello and welcome to Before Brunch. I'm Megan Cassidy.
And I'm Cassie Delaney.
And we are your weekly celebrity pop culture social issues podcast. And we go live every Sunday morning before brunch.
Yeah, and we like to talk about all the things that you're going to be talking about with your pals as you sit around a nice table, drink mimosas and eat some good food.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I haven't done a 5-day week in work in so long. I can't believe it's Friday again. We record on Fridays. This week was insane. I did like 3 days, and last week I did 4 days, and haven't done a 5-day week.
Did you take Tuesday off?
I took Tuesday off because I worked the weekend. So how we do it is we take Friday and Monday off if we're working Saturday and Sunday. But because it was a bank holiday, I took the Tuesday as well for the Monday.
Very good. I took Tuesday off just because.
And good idea. It's nice to tag on.
I had a great little life admin day. Went to the bank, went to the credit union, got my car cleaned, met a pal for lunch. Gorgeous little day.
See, that sounds fab. I would feel so satisfied if I did that. But I get this weird psychological thing about the fact that I have a day off. I'm like, this has to be the most relaxing day that's physically possible. Even though that's not what's best for me, because what's really satisfying and fulfilling is getting all that shit done. But I prefer to get that shit done when I'm really busy.
Yeah, but like getting that life admin shit done is an actual high for me. Like I bought health insurance today.
Wow.
Yeah, like really grown. Like I feel like more than a birthday when I do something that's adulty, I'm moving along in my life like really, really well. Mm. Like I got a comprehensive, not even the cheapest plan. I went for a good, solid healthcare plan. Now it's not expensive, so that's probably why I purchased it. But like it was far less expensive than I had thought all my life. I thought health insurance was like going to be insanely pricey, and it was not. And I got one, and I'm going to get a boob job and everything that you can get on health insurance.
A boob job? But that's amazing. Yeah, those calls for me, I would do anything not to make a call like that, to the point where I need to call up and get my car insurance renewed. And I've been putting it off for weeks. And this week I actually left my car at home in my driveway in Waterford so that I wouldn't call. So I wouldn't have to call them and get the disc and put it in. Like that means now that I can't drive anywhere for the week. I'm completely dependent on public transport. Also that I don't have to make a call to renew my insurance. What's wrong with me?
First of all, calling people is just the worst experience in the entire world. If you can't, like I did all of my errands online.
Okay.
All of my health insurance errands complete online. Now I did have an hour long phone call on the bank to try and close my overdraft the other day. Another adulty thing. So that was really anxiety inducing.
Like,
I end up lying to them.
Well, you can't lie to them because they see. And when you tell lies to the bank, it comes back to bite you. And
yes,
that's something I learned last year.
And actually, the reason I have this overdraft is because you told me to lie to the bank and you told me to tell them a certain figure for a salary. And I remember you were like, if you tell them this, they will give you an overdraft of $2,000, right? Which has been haunting me. And you know, it's the worst thing you can do for your credit rating is to have an overdraft. Like, it's appalling.
Okay.
And also, now having done it, it is the hardest thing in the world to close it, because I was trying to close it and they were like, you just close it. And I was like, no, I need you to reduce its limit gradually over the next year so that I can still spend all the money that's in it and use it, but not use it as much as I used it last month. And that to them was completely alien. And then they were like, why do you want to close it? And I was like, because I should never have had this stupid, stupid large overdraft that Megan Cassie advised that I get.
Okay, the worst thing that you could ever do is take life admin advice from me, because I am not able to organize my life, and specifically not financial advice. I'm actually reading at the moment Susan Hayes's book, The Savvy Woman's Guide to Financial Freedom. Now, obviously, the first thing you think there is, why does a woman need a book that doesn't the same principles apply to men and women?
No.
Not at all. But I'm loving this book, things that I've never thought about before. So I would willy-nilly apply for, you know, you apply for a credit card and they start telling you about interest rates. And
yeah.
I'm like, why are you telling, like, give me the money. Yeah. I've told you my lies. Give me the money.
Free money.
Like, that's the transaction. I tell a lie, you give me the money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 28 now. So that is now coming around to bite me in the backside. Like, you can get away with that when you're 21, 22, 23, 24. And now I'm having to face up to my money issues. When you're on the phone to someone from the bank, they're looking at your account. Like, mm-hmm. they see what's coming in and they see what's going out.
They asked me to clarify my recent transactions. And this was the Tuesday after the bank holiday. And she was like, you know, what's your account balance and what have you recently spent your money on? And the transaction history was literally got paid, Searsons, the ATM beside Searsons and Baggett Street and a Spar.
And you're like pretending you can't really remember. I think I would have bought maybe insurance, or I would have. No, Cassie. Searsons.
And they were like, give us some of the amounts. And I was like, oh, I don't know, it wasn't that expensive. And they were like, we're going to need something a bit more solid than that. And I was like, oh, I don't know, maybe 30 quid. And she was like, no. And it was like playing The Price is Right.
Yeah.
And she was like, higher, higher, higher. And I was like, 50.
Might have been 50 or something. I think my card was stolen that night.
Were they taps? I don't know. I can't remember. I don't remember putting my pin in, so I don't know.
Lethal. Those are the worst calls. The last call I was on, I was applying for a new credit card, and she decided she would tell me, she's like, oh, just for your information, just for your own good, credit cards aren't supposed to be used as cash. They're sort of meant for purchases. And I was like, okay, how dare you look at what I've done with my credit card right now.
That is a violation.
Like, and repeat it back to me. Like, that is none of your business. But unfortunately, we have to face up to the fact that it is their business, mm-hmm. how we spend our money. I don't know if you look at the pie charts on my internet.
Mine's
banking.
Mine's broken because it's not accurate.
Okay. Searsons, no. 70%. Yeah. Okay. Broken. Okay. Broken.
It's so broken.
Speaking of breaks.
Yay. Good segue.
Yeah.
Very good.
We are going to have a little breakup episode this week because, well, I suppose it's inspired by Jenna Dewan Tatum and Channing Tatum's big breakup announcement this week.
Now, this is a good one for you because you hate breakup announcements or soppy breakup announcements.
I'm so against self-righteous breakup announcements, but I'm willing to be challenged on it a little bit because someone did say to me during the week, okay, if there's children involved, maybe it's different. So Jenna and Channing released a statement that is so, I'm better than you, even though we're splitting up, I just want you to all realize that our relationship is still probably better than the one that you're still in, even though we're split up. So I read that statement and started to think, are they still like more better in love than me and my current boyfriend who are still together? I mean, and that's exactly what they want you to think, because these two, and probably Chris Pratt and Anna Faris, have traded on the idea of being couple goals.
Mm-hmm.
And once you establish yourself as couple goals, you have to live up to that again and again and again. And that's obviously, it's very clear when you look at Jenna's, or I think it's Channing's, Instagram account. And only 2 weeks ago, the two of them were together with face paint all over their face saying, mm-hmm. oh, our kid painted our face. But let me read the statement. So, hey world, we have something we would like to share. First off, it feels odd that we have to share this kind of thing with everyone, but it's a consequence of the lives we've chosen to lead. Okay, I'm going to be doing commentary while I read this.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I like that they're admitting we've chosen this life and we have to share this news.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is the opposite to, who am I going to say?
Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer fucking Aniston, who says, how dare you care about my breakup with Justin Theroux, even though I pay the paps to come and take my picture with my new engagement ring in Mexico.
Okay, yeah.
So they're saying, this is the life we've chosen to lead, so we have to admit this to you. Love that. Mm-hmm. Which we also happen to be deeply grateful for.
We're good, living nice little throw in there as well.
Love
yeah.
that. I'm
yeah.
like on board with that.
It's hard, but we chose it and we're grateful.
Yeah, and okay, it is hard. I totally get that. And if Jennifer said, you know, sometimes I hate being a woman in this industry. Yeah, cool. But also acknowledge you chose it and it's not just the media's fault that you are watched. We're living in an incredible moment in time, but it's also a time where truth can easily get distorted into alternative facts. Here, I'm like, what rumours are about to come out? I hope that there is a little scandal.
There's definitely going to be cheating scandal. Absolutely, yeah. There always is.
There should be.
Or drugs.
Oh, no. Well, Channing has an alcohol problem. He's admitted that. And he has said in the past that Jenna has chosen this life. She knows what she's bought into. Mm-hmm. So he would call himself a highly functional alcoholic. Which will be interesting to see how that plays out now that he's single. But anyway, we want to share the truth so you know that if you didn't read it here, then it's most certainly fiction. Don't believe that for a second. We have lovingly chosen to separate as a couple. Here's where I started getting nauseated.
The lovingly. It's the conscious uncoupling.
Yeah. It's the Gwyneth Paltrow, my relationship didn't work, but don't you for a second think my life isn't still perfect. We fell deeply in love so many years ago and have had a magical journey together. Magical, like that, shut up, magical. Absolutely nothing has changed about how much we love one another. What?
Of course it's changed.
What are you
talking
about?
If you had this relationship for the last 9 years, then it wasn't a good one.
If you got married, not minding the like possibility of not being together anymore, then you shouldn't have gotten married. Like, now you're okay to live separate lives. So that, I hope, is different than how you felt when you decided to get married, which is saying we're going to live our life together.
Yeah, let's start some more rumors about them. I reckon they're polyamorous. Jenna's polyamorous.
Okay, give me some scientific evidence.
Because she got married with the intention of breaking up and getting married and moving on. Or she's a gold digger.
Well, here's what's interesting about showmances, I think.
Tax purposes.
Okay. She's like, Cassie's nodding her head with her arms crossed and like she has this sussed. She doesn't need to work anything out. It was all for tax. Mm-hmm. There is something weird about being it. I would imagine being on a movie set with someone. Like, I know a very limited experience from like being in a show with someone, and the love you feel is fueled by, you know, the way they say when you're on a roller coaster with someone, it intensifies your love because adrenaline brings you closer to someone.
Yeah.
And that is so the buzz with a show. Like, if you're behind a curtain with someone, it's like the crushes I've had on people that I've been in shows with that were completely unfounded and that I never would have felt anything for if we weren't behind a curtain. Yeah. It's a different vibe. And that's on like a tiny scale compared to being in a massive movie. Step up.
But it's like, it's an intense moment in time where you're so focused on the same thing and you've got this shared goal and vision and you're involved in the exact same thing and your experiences are the same and limited. Like, you've no real contact with the outside world. It's just you and them.
And
it's like being in the Gaeltacht.
Wow. Oh. That's exactly
that's what a showmance is. It's a fucking Gaeltacht relationship.
Yeah, I mean, my Gaeltacht relationships, I don't know if I'd compare them to Jenna and Channing right now, since I was like, my biggest Gaeltacht moment was walking behind a shed to kiss someone and he said, let's pretend we did it. So I was like, cool. No props.
I've had one of those experiences as well. And I think to this day, I've never admit that I did not shift Michael Howard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you name dropping. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
He's not going to listen now. I don't know where he is. It could be prison.
Mine was Anto. And he was not having any of me when I walked around the corner. But of course, I went with the story. I was like, yeah, we did it. Whatever. It's fine. It's
cool. Really good.
Yeah, really good. But these two would have also experienced a rise to stardom together, which bonds you so tightly, I would imagine.
And at that time, the whole world was telling them they were so sexy and good looking together because film was so sexy.
The world was watching them writhe their bodies together in these crazy dance moves, and the world was getting turned on by them, and they are them, and they're experiencing this together, and they had a crush on each other when they were filming, and then Channing didn't want to settle down with Jenna, and she was like, well, if you don't want to settle down with me, I'm not going to watch movies with you on a Thursday night, you have to choose. And he came knocking on her hotel room door and said, I want to be with you. And then they go on
set. Is that a true story?
That's true.
Wow.
Then they go on set the next day and they're making this massive movie. Like, it would bond you. Like, you would get 9 years out of that, which
Absolutely.
They got.
Yeah.
Anyway, nothing has changed about how much we love one another, but love is a beautiful adventure that is taking us on different paths for now. So, like, I love you so much that I can't be in the same room with you anymore. That's not a thing. There are no secrets or salacious events at the root of our decision. Just two best friends realizing it's time to take some space and help each other live the most joyous, fulfilled lives as possible. Sorry, joyous has no place in a breakup statement. The word joyous.
My God, that's gag.
We are still a family and will always be loving, dedicated parents to Everly. I like that. That's good. Great. We won't be commenting beyond this, and we thank you all in advance for respecting our family's privacy. Sending lots of love to everyone, Chan and Jenna. It just pissed me off. It was, again, the conscious uncoupling, self-righteous.
Gross.
Why don't you take the opportunity to say, you guys have put us on a pedestal as the most perfect couple ever for the last 9 years. We're not. We're real. We struggle. Everyone struggles. You can relate to us. This is a new phase in our lives.
If they just came out and they were like, look, relationships are hard. Sometimes they run their course. That's fine. Like, this conscious uncoupling thing, it's so weird. What, like, I'm sure there's people in the world who are in grand relationships and are seeing this kind of thing. And then they're like, maybe we'll just consciously uncouple.
Totally. Like, that it makes you question. It's like, what is love, or why would I stay with someone if I can love someone and maybe not be supposed to be with them? I know
it's just not painting an accurate description of relationships at all.
Like, remember Chris Pratt and Anna Faris said in their statement, I don't have it verbatim, but they said, we're really disappointed. That was good. Thank you. It's hard. It's a struggle. This is sad, and like, we're upset. We love each other. We tried really hard. It didn't work. We're really disappointed. We're going to be parents to our
son. That's a good statement, yeah.
Isn't that nice? Like, disappointed.
We've said this so many times that like, a bit of honesty is refreshing.
So refreshing. So like, I just think they started off that statement really well, ended it really shitly. And once again, I'm torn about breakups and what they mean and how you can successfully, like, okay, let's look at Brittany and Justin. Their breakup was so juicy and scandalous.
Bring back a Taylor Swift breakup. Like,
absolutely.
Bring back something where they're blocking each other on Twitter, where they're putting out these not so cryptic tweets, where they're going back and doing that real human thing.
Yeah.
That human, like, real thing that takes a lot of effort, where you go back and you delete all of the Instagrams of you guys being together.
Because that
is a conscious thing. We have to sit down for hours at a time and do it. And I appreciate that Taylor Swift did that and let the whole world know that, you know what, I'm fucking deleting them all.
Yeah, it's leaning into being completely petty and reminding us that Taylor Swift, we are like her, or she is like us, and that there's no magic potion. Once you become a celebrity, you're suddenly really good at everything and really good at breakups. You can be bad at breakups too. Like, imagine the amount of vengeance and hate that went into Justin Timberlake doing the Cry Me a River video with a Britney double and like hiring a lookalike.
Yeah. It was so good though.
Oh, it was so scandalous, and he didn't say anything. It was just, it gave us so much fuel, and it just, I really enjoy that. I think if you have a platform to break up with vengeance, do it.
Just do it.
But let's think about the children.
I mean, yes, it would be nice to the children, but block them.
But be nice to the children while deleting every single mention on Instagram and Facebook.
Just give us something to talk about, like.
Yeah. So, conscious uncoupling, like, I remember when Gwyneth, that was 2014. It feels like a lot longer ago, but that was 2014, and Gwyneth and Chris Martin split up and said they were consciously uncoupling. And then a couple of years later, everyone was doing it. And she said, oh, I started that. I started the conscious uncoupling. And part of me at the time was like, you've two choices when you break up. One is vengeance and blame. Mm-hmm. And the only part of consciously uncoupling that I like is that you're sort of taking responsibility on yourself. You're not saying it's the other person's fault.
Yeah.
You're sort of saying it's no one's fault. We've made this decision because we both have things we need to work on, rather than he did this, this and this. She cheated. He did such and such. But I wonder, can you break up with someone when you still love them?
I think if it's, I don't know. I think there's times in relationships where people break up because they genuinely want different things, or one person wants something. And we've seen that happen, you know, where one person just wants something else. And that's fine, especially at the age where we're at. Like, it's very hard to align your goals with another person.
Yeah.
And because the variety of things that you could want at this age are so vast. There's a lot of people going traveling. There's a lot of people settling down. There's a lot of people looking to get engaged. And it's just, it's hard for people. And I think there can still be an awful lot of love there. But I think if you really love someone, then you make it work.
Yeah, like I don't know about that, but I don't know if it pertains to breakups as much as who you decide to go into a relationship with when you're that little bit older. So, like, say for Jenna and Channing, they've had a kid or whatever, their lives are going in a different way. Channing has a very successful movie career. Jenna is at home with Everly. Same with Chris Pratt and Anna Faris. His career has taken
off.
She's at home with the kid, wants more kids. It's not a good time for him. These are just rumors, but we can only go off rumors, so let's go off them.
Jenna's polyamorous
and she only married him for tax purposes. Ruth Negga and Dominic Cooper broke up this week. She has said in Harper's Bazaar before, oh, I'm 35 and I have to decide, do I want kids? So those decisions
are being made. Isn't he?
He's younger, as is Chris Pratt to Anna Faris. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit more pressure in that respect, but they haven't released a statement or anything. It's still just a rumor that they've broken up. But that was my first thought, was that now our breakups are based more on situational things. But then I got to thinking, we don't go into relationships the way we used to. Unless you're with someone that you've been with since you were 21, I don't think I'd let myself get into a relationship where there were big differences in where we wanted to live, what kind of jobs we wanted to have, whether we wanted kids.
Of course, because when you get to the age where those things are more important to you, then seeing those things in another person makes that person more attractive.
That's it. It's not a shallow thing. It's
no.
If I'm driven, I want him to be driven, and I'm not going to get into a relationship where he's not driven.
Yeah, but that's fine. Like that,
and that's cool. But when you're younger, you tend to get into relationships with people that you just maybe have a chemical attraction to, or
and get out of them for crazy reasons.
And then you crazy reasons. Yeah,
I once broke up with a guy because I didn't like the way he cut his food.
Like,
it was so fucking annoying. It was like the knife would be at like a 90 degree angle to the plate, and it was just that like tap tap. Like, you know, when someone's cutting food like really rapidly.
Yeah.
And I was watching him eat one day and I was like, I cannot spend another second with this boy, let alone a couple of years.
Yeah.
And it just was, yeah, so irritating.
But do you think that was the trigger? But there was obviously, you just weren't into him.
I mean, if someone irritates you that easily, then obviously there's something else.
Yeah, wrong. I had one boyfriend who irritated me so badly. Everything he did, even the way he constructed his phrases, like he would use the same phrase over and over again. Like, you know, the phrase from something to something. So
yeah,
from doors to windows. Or he would say, okay, they had a fabulous spread last night in the restaurant, from seafood to cheesecake. He used to use that phrase for everything. And my soul just died every time he did it. But it's just an indicator that, okay, this is not right.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, looking back on on past relationships, a lot of things weren't right.
Whereas now I feel like our breakups are going to be, I hope, more considered and calculated. And breakups that I've witnessed at this age are always kind of circumstantial a lot of the time. It's not so much cheating, but...
Yeah, you never really hear of... Well, you don't really hear of someone being like, he just annoyed the fuck out of me for the last 6 years. Like, you know, he's just such a pain in the fucking ass.
No, yeah. You don't hear that. Or are we just admitting it? I don't know.
Oh my God. Well, people are irritating, but you don't break up because people are irritating. Like, although I did hear it's a distant memory in my head now of something I heard recently and I can't figure out who it was, but someone left towels on the floor and their whole relationship ended over it. They've repeatedly left their wet towels on the floor.
But sometimes these things can be indicators to greater problems. Like, if he leaves his towels on the floor, does he pay his car insurance? Like, because you can.
People can be more than one thing, Megan. People can be organized and messy at home.
No, there are big indicators that are like, you leave your tea bag in the sink. My boyfriend does.
Oh my God.
I'm still trying to figure out what that means.
Like, you can't move in with him.
I'm like, what is the process there? What is he thinking? What is the plan? What's...
When will he put that tea bag in the bin?
Yeah, and he doesn't irritate me ever, like never. But I'm concerned about that because I'm waiting for the real life reflection of what that means. And the day I'll go, oh my God, I should have known this.
Because
he puts his tea bags in the sink.
Yeah, and the boyfriend that I had that was manically stabbing his plate when he was cutting up his food could have turned out to do that to me someday.
Yeah. And look, you made the right choice. Breakups are...
Do you have any funny breakup stories or reasons when you realized that your relationship was over?
I think you just want me to tell
I
the
really
banana
want you
bar.
To tell you that story.
She's like, what about you, Megan? Do you have any stories? I broke up with someone, but it was a long time coming, over one of those banana bars. Like, I don't even know if they still sell them, but they were banana flavored with chocolate on the outside and they had a distinct smell. Mm-hmm. It was delish. I love banana flavor. Like, I have banana flavor hand cream. Some people love it. Some people hate it. He loved it too. And I was coming to a point where I kind of felt like he didn't care about me anymore. He didn't consider me. It was consideration. Mm-hmm. And he was on the way over to my house and obviously he had stopped in the shop. And when he got to the house, he didn't mention that he'd gone to the shop. Whereas at the start of our relationship, it would have been like, I'm going to the shop first. What would you like?
Nice, considerate things.
Yeah. And we were really young, so it would be like a bag of jellies or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he arrived at the house and I remember thinking, oh, I wish he went to the shop. Like, I needed some things and, you know, whatever. And I just got this smell of banana bar. And I was like, right, where is that coming from? And the next thing, he's like putting his hand in his pocket, breaking off a little piece, turning his head and putting it in his... So he's secretly eating the banana bar. So not only did he go to the shop, get himself a banana bar and not get me anything, but he knew he had done the wrong thing and he was hiding the banana bar from me.
Shady.
I could smell it and I was like, hey, are you eating a banana bar? And he was like, yeah. And I said, okay, why is it a secret? I forgot to get you anything. Well, did I ball? Did I ball? And... He kept
like hysterical,
saying
hysterical Kim Kardashian. Hecking. Yeah.
Like, can't get your words out because you're going, and then, yeah. And he kept saying,
Megan, it's a banana bar. It's a banana bar.
It's not a fucking banana bar.
It's a fucking banana bar. It's how you feel about me. It's an indicator that that man is probably a selfish, selfish bastard.
Yeah. It was the end. It was the end. But it was triggered by the banana bar. So yeah. Let's talk about what we've both been watching this week.
Okay, yeah. Wild, Wild Country.
What a documentary.
Okay, so I for anyone who hasn't watched it, it's a new Netflix original documentary about the Indian guru Bhagwan
Rajneesh Bhagwan.
A lot of people call him Osho. And they were a community that moved into a community of followers, and they all moved into Oregon, right? Now, full disclosure, I'm only just under two episodes in.
Okay, I won't spoil it because I watched the whole thing.
Okay, so don't spoil it for me. But you,
the way you would do for me. Okay.
Yeah. No, I really appreciate that. Yeah. And we talked about this during the week. So far, I'm just inspired.
See, this is the thing, right? Obviously, the themes here are like otherness and acceptance. And this story is that this Indian cult, and now they're known as a sex cult, they're still going in India. They were looking for a place that was more sort of accepting of they needed more space and they needed lax laws, really.
Yeah, they were having problems in India because politically and legally they couldn't form properly as a community or a group because it was against the law to basically be part of any sort of religion or sect that was outside of the approved religions.
Yeah. So they, Sheila, who is Bhagwan's personal secretary and for me the hero of the documentary, she's an awful woman, but I am obsessed with her now. She sets about finding a new place for them, and she finds this really remote little town in Oregon called Antelope, where there's only 40 residents, which I had to rewind 100 times to read that on the sign. 40 people lived here. And they set up camp in a ranch and build a city for the Rajneeshi. Their beliefs are kind of hard to determine, but it seems to be they believe in free love, a lot of sex, anti-socialism.
They don't lead with the free love and a lot of sex thing.
They don't.
It's
true.
They are, first of all, a capitalist community as well. So they believe in work and they believe in, you know, work hard, get your money, earn your keep or whatever.
Yeah. But they believe they're making a new human that's anti-socialist, but they feel like commercialism has failed.
Yes.
But they are capitalist 100%. So they are, that is their new ideal human. It will not be, socialism will not come into it. It's very much you earn what you have, and he has like 90 Rolls Royces and he very much feels like he deserves them.
Yeah. And there's this whole like free thinking ideology, and they do a lot of yoga and a lot of meditation and a lot of all that kind of stuff. And they basically, when they move into Oregon, they take the desert and they make it into a farm. And it's really inspirational. They just build this commune of 10,000 people. They take this gross desert land and they turn it into this gorgeous farm with sheep and with cattle and with horses. And they build all these lovely little yurts and they live in them and they live together, and they all do painting and yoga and activities. And to me, that is pretty damn good.
The dream.
Just take a load of people and move them down to Wicklow, get a load of land, start a commune.
The Echo Warriors, remember? Eco Warriors. My mother says Echo Warriors and now I say Echo Warriors. But
those Eco Warriors who went down to Wicklow lived in the trees.
They did.
I want to go down and build a rake of little yurts and cottages and like a little central community cafe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's it. Like, they don't come down hard on either side. The Way Brothers produce this. They don't come down on either side to say that the Rajneeshis are evil, but the things that the Rajneeshis do as the series progresses, like, they are very definitely, it would make you question humans' propensity for evil. I mean, there's poisoning, there is attempted assassinations.
Okay.
They're not rumors. These people admit that they've done it, but the way that they talk you through the story of them attempting assassination would actually have you on their side. You're almost like, oh, she didn't fucking get him. And then I'm like, hold on, that's murder.
That's murder, that's assassination.
It's bad.
Bad.
Bad. But they make me, my first thought is, what is it about society that's driven all these Westerners to this cult? Like, that's something that's not really explored either. But the themes, while they don't go into it or come down on like who's right or wrong, it's very much, there's a lot of xenophobia. People do, it's like brings out the worst in everyone. So the residents of the town, as the Rajneeshis are moving in, they are very unwelcoming without any evidence for not to welcome the Rajneeshis. They just say, oh, they're new people.
That's it.
The footage shows the kids afraid of them. And it's really honing in on that American fear of anything that's different. Ever slightly different.
Yeah. So that's in one of the earlier episodes. I think it's in the first episode when they start arriving in Oregon, or it's very early on in the second episode. And that's not a spoiler, by the way, you know that they moved to Oregon. And you do see these like kind of hickish people being like, they were different and they weren't at the start. We tried to make them welcome, but all you need to do is drive up there and see that they're weird and unusual people.
And they had no evidence for these people being weird. No. And sometimes people embody what you say that they are. So if they're going to this town and everyone's saying they're weird, they're probably going to start acting a little bit hostile, mm-hmm. which definitely does happen. So there's a massive divide. They're not welcomed into the town, and it does set up a tension between Sheila and the residents of Antelope. But what I love here, and we've spoken a little bit about it in the episode about House of Cards season 6 teaser, is the fact that there's a woman who is a complete bitch. This is Sheila, who's the personal secretary. Mm-hmm. The opposite of what you would ever expect a spiritual guru or a woman in a religious organization to be, in that they will say, oh, she says at one point, there's a quote, oh, Jesus says to turn the other cheek. I do not believe in turning the other cheek. Like, she is vengeful.
Yeah.
She is
vicious, but she's also quite the genius. Like, before they moved this community, I'm not going to call them a cult, before they moved the community,
you're from in India, this cult, I feel,
India to Oregon, they were turning around thousands upon thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like, they were massively profitable. They were charging for yoga and charging for kind of Bhagwan services, and like, they were a multi-million company.
Oh yeah, like, this woman has, and it was all Sheila. She has brains to burn. The things she did, that, like, she was so tuned in and so intelligent and also so manipulative, but to a degree of crazy intelligence, almost Trump-esque, that mm-hmm. she could get these tens of thousands of people to believe her ways and to overlook the terrible things she was doing. She was so influential, more so from what I've seen than even Bhagwan, who doesn't speak for 3 years. And that's another topic that we've spoken about, is silence and how much you fucking get away with when you're not speaking. But Sheila speaks the whole way through, and she's actually she's part of the commentary for the documentary. So they've gotten people that were really, really central in the whole thing to do the commentary. And Sheila's there looking very dignified, 40 years or 30 years on, an old lady with grey hair. And it's hard to sort of reconcile her to the other images of the evil bitch.
Sheila. Yeah.
But I love bitches and really bad women. I love when they're celebrated, like Claire Underwood. She is just a terrible person. Amy Dunn in Gone Girl is a terrible person. Yeah. Sheila is a terrible person.
But it's great to watch.
Impressive. You can't help but be impressed.
Very, very impressive. Anyway, watch it.
Please.
Watch it and then discuss it with us on the Twitter or whatever. So before we go, we've got an exciting idea.
Yeah. So we have a new idea that is called Brunch Book Club. And what we were thinking of doing, and we appreciate any of your feedback, but I think a book a week we should be able to tackle. And if we can't, we should make it our business to do it, because we should be reading a book.
Oh,
a week,
so we didn't discuss the timeline here. Let's
do you think a week is too much?
Tight.
Too
Let's
tight.
Go a fortnight. A fortnight or a
two
month?
Weeks.
Fortnight.
A month is too, it's too long. A fortnight.
Okay, we'll go a fortnight.
So we're going a fortnight, and we're going to discuss a book every 2 weeks then in the last segment of the podcast. And I think the reason we got this idea is because obviously the nominees for the International Dublin Literary Awards were announced this week, which is a massive international award. €100,000 is up for grabs here, which is one of the biggest literary prizes in the world. And it's been really good for celebrating and showcasing sort of the underdog and maybe novelists that aren't so mainstream and English speaking books that you might not have heard of, not the big dogs. But it hasn't been so great for celebrating women, and there's only been two winners since its inception in 1996. So this year, an Irish lady, Emer McBride, you might have heard of her. She is up for The Lesser Bohemians, which was published last year. And I think that'd be a great place for us to start with our book club. Celebrate Irishness, celebrate women, and get stuck in.
Okay, great. And can I listen to the audiobook?
On Audible?
Yeah.
Fucking hate Audible, but yes, you can.
Okay, great. Every fortnight it is, so.
Great. okay, cool. I think that's it from us this week. Thanks mm-hmm. for listening, guys. You can find us on Twitter at Megan M. Cassidy or at Cassie Lorraine or at Love in Dublin or at lovin.ie, lovindot, with any feedback you have. And your only homework is The Lesser Bohemians by Emer McBride.
Yes, and if you've enjoyed today, check out our other podcasts. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, everywhere you get your podcasts. Please, please, please take the time to share, rate and review the podcast. It really helps us along the charts. And when we get into the charts, we get to make more podcasts.
Yay.
So, yay. Okay. Thanks so much for listening, guys.
Thanks. Bye.